Hello and welcome to our first three-bid league mini-pod of the season. We'll be keeping things short here. We like to call this a halftime pod because you can fit it in during a halftime of a game. And with the first full day of conference season upon us, of course, we've already had two standalone games. We just wanted to take a few minutes here and just go over the seven games that we will see spread out on Wednesday. So, Matt, you excited? Because I know I am.
Yeah, can't wait, Tyler. We have seen a couple conference games, like you said, but it's not very often we see a full seven-game slate in the A-10. So should be a really fun day on Wednesday. We have seven good games to talk about. So let's just get right into it, and we'll go in chronological order. Spoiler alert, you're going to want to make sure you have your ESPN Plus subscriptions renewed because there is a whole lot of action on the Plus, and we'll start at 12 p.m., VCU at St. Joseph's. Also, by the way, I should mention, we don't have point spreads for these games because usually those don't come out until the night before, and we're recording it a little bit early. We're going to go with some KenPom projections, though, to talk through these games. So VCU, KenPom has them winning this game by 9 at Hawk Hill. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, if that's the line, I would lean towards VCU. I think if you can get the Rams at single digits, that's going to be very, very nice. St. Joseph's just played a brutal schedule so far. They've been able to hang with some tough teams. They dragged Auburn to overtime. They played decently against Kansas. But as we expected, we've seen that the Hawks are just going to live and die by the three. And I think we can really give that as our St. Joe's preview for all 18 of their conference games this year. But VCU is ready for a team like that. They're ready to be able to defend all those athletic guards on the perimeter. Maybe not a big game for Hassan Ward defensively, because St. Joe's isn't going to go to the rim as often as other teams. But this is where we're really going to see all of those defensive wings, the guys like Vince Williams, really get a chance to shine. VCU should be able to take care of the Hawks pretty handedly.
Yeah, I actually see this as a pretty tough matchup for St. Joe's. I just think VCU is so good on defense, and with the amount of turnovers they force, I don't think this is a team you can really run and gun on very easily. I think VCU is going to be ready for that. It is worth noting that this is St. Joe's first home game of the season, so that might help them out a little bit. But I agree. I think VCU by double digits. I'll say they win by about 12 or so. I think St. Joe's, you know, they're better than last year, but it's a tough start to their conference season, and it might take them a little bit of time to get running.
Yeah, where I would lean is, depending on where the number comes in, I think there's going to be a very nice opportunity to potentially bet the over in this game. Both of these teams are going to try to play super fast. They're going to just be jacking up crazy shots. I think that St. Joe's is going to have a lot of trouble handling VCU's guards. So, yeah, I'd be looking at what that line ends up being. If it's somewhere in like the 140s, it could be a really nice opportunity.
Yeah, and I'd also say with how up-tempo I'm expecting this game to be, if there was a prop bet for the high scorer of the day across the conference, I think Bones Highland would have a really good shot because he's already lit it up with a couple 30-point performances. I could see another one just with the way he's been shooting the ball. But anyway, that's how we're kicking off the day. Around halftime of that game at 1 p.m. Eastern, we'll go over to GW at Fordham. The Rams will be playing their first highly anticipated game of the year at Rose Hill Gym. And as we all know, there's a lot of history in this matchup with Fordham winning all three meetings last year. KenPom has Fordham winning this game by 5, but that might change because we have some late-breaking news out of Foggy Bottom. What happened, Tyler?
Well, we cannot fully confirm this right now, but A-10 Talk did break the news. We're recording this around 9 p.m. here on Monday. A-10 Talk broke the news that Jameer Nelson Jr. is leaving. He'd be the third GW player to transfer out in the last 2 weeks. We're not going to go too deep into this. As good a work as they do over at A-10 Talk, they have not been known to break news, and right now they are the only source on this. So I would certainly not call it official, but it is something to just keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy just season overall for GW. They already had Maceo Jack, another starter, officially transfer out. He's already looking at some other low major and mid major schools, so he's gone for sure. It's a rough start, but with this being Fordham's first game of the year, like, I don't even know if they've been practicing this whole time or what's been going on. It's hard for me to have that much confidence in the Rams as a favorite. So even with all this potential change going on around GW, I actually think I kind of like the Colonials to win this game.
Yeah, it's a big bummer. I picked GW to finish eighth this year. I thought Nelson was going to be a superstar. And part of the reason why the Colonials 1-6 start hasn't really scared me off is because I felt like both Jack and Nelson were just being horribly misused. I still like Jamie and Christian as a coach, and I thought he was going to figure things out with those guys. But, I mean, now at least Maceo Jack is gone.
Misused too.
Yeah, and, you know, if I'm interested to see what the line ends up being. If it's 5 or higher, I would just take the underdog no matter what. I don't think either of these teams are I just wouldn't take a -5 with either of these teams right now unless they're playing one of the worst squads in the country. We have no idea what Fordham's going to look like. GW's just losing crap games left and right. I'm going to take the Rams. I'm not bothered by the fact that they haven't played yet this year, because that might be even better than just simply playing badly. I like Fordham's physicality. My biggest issue with GW all year is I just felt like they do not have the big guys to deal with tough teams. This is going to be a big Soriano game. He's going to really announce himself to the league on Wednesday. Fordham's just going to be able to – I think they're just going to be able to bully these guys.
Yeah, if Soriano developed his offensive game, then it could get rough, because GW just has very little post defense, and that's really been the problem. I guess one reason, though, I'm thinking they can overcome that, they didn't score more. So they played Fordham 3 times last year. They never scored more than 54 points, and they also shot the 3 very poorly in each of those games. Their offense is actually up to a very pedestrian 196th in the country, which is better than last year. It's their defense that's held them back. But I don't know. Fordham's not going to, even if they are more physical than GW, I don't think they're going to score that many points in this one. So I agree with what you said, though, about, like, whoever, if the spread's more than 5 points, just take the underdog, because I am expecting a close, ugly game. I'm not going to be watching this one as a spoiler, but... yeah, I still think GW. I don't trust Fordham after a 2 month or whatever. They haven't played basketball in a very long time.
I just think, especially with those guys gone, everything's going to have to go through James Bishop for the entirety of conference play. And coaches with the right defenses are going to find ways to take him out and make things uncomfortable for him. And Fordham did a really good job of that against a lot of teams last year. It's the one thing that they are very good at.
Yeah, we'll find out if Fordham still has a legit defense like they did last year. But anyway, we'll move on to the mid-afternoon now, third game of the day at 4 o'clock on ESPN Plus. St. Bonaventure traveling to Rhode Island. KenPom has Rhode Island favored by 2 points in what should be a pretty good game.
This game was ridiculously fun last year, one of the best of the entire season. I expect it to be very entertaining again. Give me the Bonnies. I think that we have a very small window here to be able to get the Bonnies as underdogs against non-St. Louis teams, because they'll definitely be a dog against the Billikens, and that'll probably be deserved. But I've said it so many times. I'm a broken record now. I really love the St. Bonaventure team, and they've only played 2 games, but as soon as Shunahi and Dominic Welch have impressed me in those 2 games to a level that I didn't even expect, if Shunahi continues to be an offensive force, then Rhodey's really going to struggle. We've seen that their big guys have had a lot of foul issues so far in this season. And I think Mark Schmidt's going to try to work the ball down low early on in this game. He's going to try to force them into foul problems again. in the end, if Kyle Lofton can play well against Fats Russell on the defensive end, then the Bonnies shouldn't have too much of an issue up in Kingston.
Yeah, I think I like the Bonnies in this one, too. It is worth noting that when Rhode Island won a close game in Olean last year, Oshun was injured that game. But this year, I think the Bonnies are going to have a massive advantage in the post. Rhode Island already lost Makai Mitchell for the year with a knee injury. And then at the end of the Davidson game, Jermaine Harris also got injured, which I'm not sure what his status is. I think the injury isn't as bad as it originally looked when he was carried off the court. But still, the Rams are a little bit thin in the post right now. The foul trouble can be a big issue, as you mentioned. And with Oshun averaging what right now would be easily a career high of 19 points a game, he's just looked great on the offensive end. I also think it's worth noting the Bonnies, even though it is a very small two-game sample size, but they've defended the three very well, which could be important as Rhode Island has a lot of three-point shooters this year. So, I agree. I think I like the Bonnies in this game. All right. With that, we will move over to one game at 6 p.m. with George Mason at UMass. UMass coming off a disappointing home loss to Bryant. George Mason coming off an even worse loss to Norfolk State. So, two teams trying to get back on track. UMass is favored by 4, according to KenPom.
This is the night where UMass could really end up missing Preston Santos. I just don't see how they're going to defend AJ Wilson if he is properly unleashed in this game. Now, I say that we really haven't seen much out of him yet in this season. And I really hope that Dave Paulson can fix whatever is plaguing them in that regard. I had Wilson as a sleeper for first team all conference this year, and you know, he just really has not been featured in the offense that much. This is the kind of game where he has a chance to really break out. Having said that, I'm not too confident in it. Mason's got a good defender against Trey Mitchell and Josh Aduro, but I don't trust Mason's perimeter D. I don't think that they are going to be able to cause UMass problems getting the ball into Mitchell. And while he may not have his most efficient game of the year, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities, and I really expect him to shine on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm expecting a big game from Trey Mitchell. I think Oduro is actually one of the most improved players in the A-10 so far, and I think he'll handle the matchup better than he would have last year, but I think Trey Mitchell, it's hard to see George Mason stopping him that much to me. And yeah, the perimeter defense for the Patriots could be an issue because even though UMass, they are only 2-2, but they still have a lot of three-point shooters. I think with their up-tempo offense, they can cover the spread. I'll say they win by about 8 or 9 points with a lot of three-pointers, a lot of Trey Mitchell, and they should get back on track. And at UMass also, they could be 2-0, continue their early lead in the A-10. We'll see if that happens. Something to watch.
Yeah, and it's a game that's really well set up for someone between Fernandes, Pierre, or Weeks to really get going from beyond the arc.
Honestly, it's just, I haven't seen a ton of George Mason. I watched the end of their Norfolk State game, but it's just hard for me to have any confidence in them. They barely slipped by Towson by 5 points. They beat VMI by 2. It just hasn't been a good start to the season. And I know a lot of Mason fans aren't happy with how they've been playing. We'll see. I mean, on paper, it's still one of the more experienced teams in the conference, but they just haven't looked crisp through 6 games. Okay, so with that, we have 3 games on the 7 p.m. slate. We'll start with the one that's probably, I don't want to say it's the least interesting, but it's got the biggest spread, according to KenPom. LaSalle goes to UD Arena, and KenPom has the Flyers winning this one by 12 points.
Ooh, that's a tough line. I mean, first off, Dayton should take care of business easily from a win standpoint in this game. They'll be able to really play the grind ball that LaSalle's been playing. I still absolutely love this Flyers defense. And I'm not sure there's anybody on the Explorers who's capable of hurting them. Last time LaSalle came to UD Arena, they didn't even get to 40 points in the game, and that could happen again. Now, the difference here is that could happen, and Dayton still might not get to 50 themselves with the slow pace. I'll take the Flyers if the spread stays below about 2 touchdowns. If it stays below 14, I feel like Dayton can get to that number. They shouldn't have much of a problem winning this game, but as things go with the Flyers at this point, either Jalen Crutcher or Ibby Watson is really going to have to step up scoring-wise. And with all the responsibilities that those two have around the floor, that's never a guarantee. They've gotten some time off. Crutcher will be well-rested. This should be a pretty easy 20-10 game for him.
Yeah, I think Dayton should easily win this game, although I'm not – I think LaSalle's going to hang around, and I'm actually kind of high on LaSalle. I feel like their record isn't great, but compared to the other bottom-tier teams, I feel like they've got a little bit more to work with. And part of that has to do with LaSalle being a sneaky good defensive team, which I think could cause Dayton some problems. I think, you know, the Flyers should win. I think it's going to be by single digits, though. They haven't – their biggest win, actually, is against Northern Kentucky by 6 points. So they haven't blown anyone out. I don't really think that's going to start now. But as long as Dayton can, you know, like you said, LaSalle doesn't really have too many guys that are going to beat Dayton offensively, so I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I just don't really see UD taking it by double digits either. So I'll say a relatively close 7-point win that feels too close for comfort for Dayton. So now we have what I would say are the two biggest games, or two of the most interesting games of the first real day of conference season. We'll start with the other one, the final game on ESPN Plus, Duquesne at St. Louis, which has been a really interesting matchup the last couple seasons. And KenPom has St. Louis winning this one by 8 points at home.
So I guess what is the bigger factor here? The Dukes having not played in 3 weeks, or the fact that I still have no proof that SLU's going to actually figure out how to guard Marcus Weathers this time around, a guy who has given them so many terrible problems through the years, and St. Louis fans will be quick to admit that themselves. The Billikens should win this game in Chaffetz. I think the eight would be too high if that's where the line ends up. I would end up taking Duquesne with the points in this game. I'm very worried about the lack of practice, or I guess really the lack of games. They've been practicing the last few days. We saw when they played their first game of the year against Little Rock, a team that had been going, a team that had been playing. The Dukes looked really flat, and I think that might happen again. Now, some guys are just better set up to be able to just walk onto a court having not played in a while. I think Marcus Weathers and Michael Hughes are two of those guys. I expect them both to play extremely well. I expect Weathers to tear the Billikens apart again. But while Duquesne has always been well set to play garbage ball with St. Louis and match up with that this year, St. Louis doesn't have to play that game necessarily, as we've talked about. I think that the newfound improved three-point shooting puts St. Louis over the top in this one. Gibson Jimerson could end up having a very big game. I think the Dukes will do well against Javonte Perkins. It's not going to be a terrific game for him, but I think one of the two between Jimerson and Jacobs really delivers the dagger, and Duquesne does not have that equivalent guy on their team.
I haven't really watched Duquesne yet this year, so I don't know a ton about how they've looked, but who do you think has the best chance of stopping Javonte Perkins for the Dukes?
I think they're going to throw carry on him early, even though he's a little bit undersized. I think this is one of those games where we're going to see a lot of different defenders throughout the day, where it might be Maceo Austin for 3 minutes. It might be Lamar Norman for 3 minutes. I think Dan Brott's going to get really creative and try to fluster Perkins by just throwing guy after guy on him.
Yeah, that might be there.
Weathers a little bit too.
Yeah. I mean, I think You're right. I'm still expecting Weathers. He's just been such a matchup nightmare for them. I think he'll be fine. It's kind of the same thing I said with Fordham. I just have trouble putting too much confidence in Duquesne. It's a tough way for them to start the conference season going on the road against the team that's looked the best so far. And I would also say to St. Louis, they got pretty lucky because everyone knows this has been a tough game for them the last year and a half, 2 years. And they get the Dukes at home. They only have to play them once this year. And it's at a time where Duquesne hasn't played in a few weeks. So I actually think St. Louis, they've been winning most of their games pretty comfortably. Although the Kansas City game was actually like tied at halftime or something crazy like that. And then the Bills ran away in the second half. But I just think the fact that St. Louis has so many more options offensively, I think they're going to find a way to win this game by double digits. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think it's going to take Duquesne some time to shake off the rust. I'll say St. Louis by 12. And now we have one more game, the only national TV game of the day. And I'm really excited for this one, even though I'm probably going to be mostly watching the Dayton game. But Richmond at Davidson, Ken Pom Scott Davidson by 1 point. So this is a very even matchup. And Richmond, they beat Davidson pretty badly twice last year, but the Spiders are coming off a pretty brutal loss at home against Hofstra. And going at Davidson, this is a potential quad one game. I think it's going to be kind of borderline, but this is the type of game that could get the Spiders right back in the at-large conversation. So where do you want to start with this game, Tyler?
So I'll mention quickly since you said it. I'm so glad this is on CBSSN. Most Wednesday nights we just get stuck with a mountain of ESPN Plus games. And so I'll be straightforward with it. There's two other games on. I'm just gonna tape this and start at 9 o'clock once Dayton and Duquesne are both finished, since this is really the only one that we have the ability to delay. But the game itself, to me, this comes down to Bob McKillop versus Grant Golden and Bob McKillop versus Jacob Gilliard. He better be ready to, he better have a great game plan prepared here, because Grant Golden's going to cause Luka Brajkovic a lot of problems. And, you know, Sam Mnenga is not strong enough to take Golden. Brajkovic has not shown himself to be a great defender against more mobile bigs. And on the other side, I assume that they're going to have Jacob Gilliard try to disrupt Kellen Grady, really get in his face and really close off those driving lanes. So on paper, this to me screams like a big Richmond blowout win. But I think McKillop's going to be ready. I'll take the Spiders still. I think that they're just a better team, and I think that the matchups go their way. But it's been a long break. McKillop's a really smart dude and a coach who has no problem going out of his comfort zone. I think that the Wildcats keep it close because of great coaching.
This is a it's a tough game for me to call, really. I'll tell you what really scares me, and you talked about this in our Christmas episode last week. Richmond has struggled defending the 3-point shot in a few of their losses this year, and especially against Hofstra and at the end of the Loyola game. It really came back to bite them. How many A-10 teams have nightmares of just getting lit up at Belk Arena? Because right now, Davidson, you know, St. Louis is getting all the attention, but Davidson might have the most efficient offense in the conference right now. And especially with their 3-point shooting, you got Grady Lee, Carter Collins all shooting at a good clip. I just don't know if Richmond's going to be up to defend that. And I feel like at home, Davidson usually plays well there. I feel like the Cats could move to 2-0.
Yeah, I could certainly see it happening, but you know, I think the break will do Richmond really well. They've had some time to think about their issues, and now they're going to have a chance to really try to correct them in this game.
Yeah, I think that the 3-point shooting is probably the biggest thing I've looked at with this game. I do think it is going to be close, though. I guess one other thing, you know, neither team's that physical. In fact, I'd say they're two of the least physical teams in the conference. So any like rebounding weaknesses or offensive rebounding, that shouldn't be that big of an issue. I think it's honestly just going to come down to which team gets hot shooting the ball, because both of them have a lot of potential there. I just feel like Davidson being at home, being the more consistent shooting team in my eyes, I feel like they should be a slight favorite in this game. But it's going to be really important either way, because you've got Richmond with a chance to get a big win to get them back on, I don't want to say on the right side of the bubble because it's too early to be talking about that, but with Kentucky struggling, this is a big win that they could really use. And then for Davidson, all of a sudden, if they win this, that's, they would be 2-0 with two of their more difficult games out of the way and a realistic path to a double bye, believe it or not. So, very intriguing matchup. I can't wait to see what happens, and I'm glad it's the one on national TV because it's going to be an important game in the A-10, I think.
Absolutely. We got a full slate of super fun games here. Hope that we were able to give you guys just a quick little preview of things to look at here. Everybody enjoy opening day. Everybody enjoy Saturday, which is my favorite slate of games on the entire schedule for the whole year in conference play. And have a good new year. Stay safe out there.